Okay, praise the Lord.
I have a few little things to share. When mother of James and John came to Jesus and she was requesting, that they sit on their right and left hand. And Mark read that the 10 were moved with indignation. Now I want to ask you something. What kind of shape you suppose those other 10 were in if they were moved in indignation over that? And I don't say that to make them look bad. I'm saying that so we'll know who we are. And I remember before I really found the Lord, I was in a just a common church, in my town. And I remember thinking things along the line of, who am I to think that I could interpret scripture? You know what I mean? I'm just a little old nothing that the pastor can do it maybe, and but who am I, and I want to say a couple little things about revelation knowledge. Remember when Jesus asked him, who does everybody say that I am? And some of them said, oh, some say you're Elijah, come back to life, or some say you're John the Baptist or whatever. And Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter speaks up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona. Now, do you think Jesus says anything that just by happen chance? Like, why didn't he just say, blessed are thou, Simon? Why did he have to say, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona? You know what the word bar means? It means son of. So he said, blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah. Jonah was Simon's dad. So Jesus was making a point of bringing out the fact that this is a human being. You were born of another man, of Jonah. So he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now, if his Father is in heaven, how did he reveal that to Peter? That's all revelation knowledge is. It's a big old word that's kind of scary, but all revelation knowledge is God revealing something to you. And he can reveal something to any one of us in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't take some super spiritual, some high up somebody. God can speak to every one of us in sometimes some of the craziest ways. I'll tell you one revelation I had one time that really surprised me. When my kids were little, I had this little set of flashcards. You know what flashcards are? You'd hold up this one card and it might say, oh, something like Samson lifted up the gates and carried them, and all these different little things, so I lift up this card, my kids are supposed to read it to me when I lift it up. I lift up this one card and it says, God wrote his law on two tablets of stone, and a short time later they were broken. And as my kid read that, in my ear, God said, Adam and Eve. He wrote his law on a couple human beings, and a short time later it was broken. And so God can speak to you in any way and any time, and it's revelation knowledge. it's a wonderful thing, like to hear from God does so much, to a human being. I mean, it's just the God of this universe talks to us. It's just incredible that, David one time even said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God cares about every one of us. And as our spirits become alive and we begin to hear God, we find out what this life is really all about. God bless you.
So,
Go
Mark,
ahead.
if I understand the 10 virgins right, the vessels that they took, being their souls, the oil that they had in their lamp was their belief in God or in Jesus. And so the foolish, their belief had gone away and they didn't have that anymore. And they had to go get that belief back. Where the wise took oil, they took their belief with them. They all trimmed their lamps, it said. They all trimmed them. But the foolish did not have their belief anymore. Is that right?
Well, the foolish may have theoretically believed, but they were not allowing that belief to change them in the course of their life. In other words, they were just like they were 20 years ago. They were not changing. They were not growing more mature. They were not taking in more wisdom. They were not hearing what God was saying in their life and changing and letting go of certain things that didn't belong in their life. They were
But
not
more than
changing.
that, they lost it. They were out of oil. They lost that belief.
They did not have, we'll get to that the next time, but they did not have sufficient life of the Spirit to overcome the terrible things that were coming upon the earth. They had lost some of their discernment. They were buying the things the world was saying. They were allowing the world to do things to their children that they couldn't see what was going to happen down the line to them. They just were not active in this in these things.
So something that came to me, Howard, when you asked the question was just in today's message, when the guy said he was going to tear down his barns and build some bigger ones. First of all, I thought, well, talk about a fool, just leave them up and build some other ones anyway. Why tear down the ones you have? But anyway, the thing that really stuck out to me when it said, tonight, your very soul is required of thee. And when Mark read that, I thought to myself, it didn't say tonight you're going to die. It said tonight your soul's going to be required of you. You know that you can kind of lose your soul while you're still alive by doing the things that Mark just talked about. When we frustrate the Holy Spirit to the point that we can't even hear him anymore, or even worse than that, don't even want to hear him anymore. Our soul is in a very bad place.
You know, Mike, I was thinking as you were talking, something must have spoke to that chaplain that bothered him. Something that I didn't say, but he understood what was implied and he didn't like it. He had enough witness of spirit that it bothered him. And instead of agreeing to change his mind, about where he was going, he chose to use that to attack me as being, you know, I wasn't sensitive. You know, I was, my beliefs were not going to be user friendly to the church. I was this kind of preaching is going to bother people, and he's going to lose people, because they're just going to hear, I don't belong, I'm losing it. But he's not going to tell them how to change. He's not going to tell them how to repent, and he's not going to be preaching repentance. He wants to believe, and he wants to believe to tell his people that they're just good the way they are, and they shouldn't be bothered by any of this unfriendly preaching. Something hit him. Go ahead, Brother Daniel. You look like you've got something to add.
Yeah, thank you for this word, Mark. For me, it's a message to stay on the right side of the door, to be on the right side of the door. There is a two side of the door, to be inside or outside. And it always hit me when I reading this story, is that when the foolish virgin came back, he gave them a message, I know you not. And when I think about it, it really tells us that it was something opposite of those who are wise. He knew them. And he knew them through this extra oil that they had. And what kind of is he speaking about there? Because through that extra oil, they know one another. They have already having certain relationship, certain things commit. Jesus said one time, I call you not a servant anymore, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. I call you friend. And there is something about this friendship with our King in this extra oil that is really touching my heart. And it was the extra oil, it was because he knew them through that they were able to enter in. And when I was asking the Lord one time, how can I find out if I am foolish? Because I do not want to be that. And I want to let you see what he showed me. It's Ezekiel chapter 13. And it's Ezekiel chapter 13, and it's verse 3, and it fits so good into this story. He says in Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 3, thus says the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophet that follow their own spirit. Brethren, it's foolishness to follow our own spirit. It's the wise to follow God's spirit. To be led by God's spirit is wise things. This is the difference. And he says, woe unto the foolish prophet that follow their own spirit. They became foolish because they were following their own spirit, not the spirit of God. We are become a wise when we follow the spirit of living God within our life. And he said, and have seen nothing. When people are led by their own spirit, they see nothing. But when they are led by the Holy Spirit, they see everything. Because everything is added unto us. And it really really touched me because I believe when Esther was brought before the king, I don't think that the king was just looking at Esther and it was enough that was moving him, that was affecting him. I really believe that everything that Esther had in her life, it was something that was with her. It was something that was in her life. It was something that was in her presence that melted the heart of the king. I believe the spirit of living God was covering Esther when she went in, because it's not by the might or my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's something about that we need to realize that there is nothing special about us. There is nothing in our life that we can break about how great we are, how rich we are, how capable we are to do things, and how many people are around us. No, it's about how we are being capable to be just because God chose to walk with us, to be with us. He's going to come with his saints and in his saints. It's a two different. He's going to be in his saints and with his saints. And this is the word that he had been speaking to me last days about. What are you talking about, Lord, when you are saying you are going to come with your people and in your people? And he said, this is what I meant when I said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the word that is within my soul these days, and this is the word that is the word from the Spirit of Living God that is within one another, that we can say to one another, because everything that He gives us is not only for us but for someone to receive. And it means that to have this word in my life, I can always and are in responsibility that I can say this to all my brethren and my sisters. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because friendship that I see in this extra oil, the friendship that we have with Jesus is something that brings us in. The friendship, it only take you 10 minutes to have a friend, but it will take your whole life to be a friend. I have a friend that I have not met for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, but when I meet them, it's like we talked yesterday. It's something about that we need to see that the purpose of God is not only to bring us into unity, because unity can be broken, but he's speaking about to bring us into oneness, because oneness can not been broken. Oneness is something that is unbreakable. And he showed me this for 10 days ago. He showed me a 10 pieces of gold. And this 10 pieces of gold, 10, no, 12 pieces of gold. I was looking at it and I saw this 12 pieces of gold on the table. And he said, this is how the unity is. And unity can be broken. It's possible to remove one away. But when you take these 12 pieces of gold, you put them into fire and they smelted together into one. It means that the heat of the fire start to melt them into one another and they become one. And when they take it out of the fire again, you are never, ever going to be able to separate them as a 12 pieces again because they became one. It's the oneness that we are totally one in the rest of God. And that is also the chapter that we see when he's speaking in Luke chapter 11. Then he gave us a story about the midnight there too. And in that story, he said, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend that shall go unto him at midnight? It's Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, from 5. He came to him at midnight and said unto him, friend, leave me three loaves. Oh, he was hungry. He was needed, but he was on the wrong side of the door. Do you see this? He was on the wrong side of the door, but he was knocking. And for a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me. There was someone that was coming to visit him that was friend to him, and he had nothing for him, and he really know where to knock to receive something so he could give his friend. And in verse 7, he said, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. And my children, some translation said, my son, are with me in bed. They had entered into the rest, brethren. They have coming into the rest of God. They had coming on the right side of the door. They were in rest with him. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as his need. The mercy and the grace of God does not go away, even for those who are on the wrong side of the door, knocking, seeking, because it's something that we need to realize. The judgments of God is always like it should be. But what changed the judgments of God that is over the people? It is repentance. When people come on their knees and repented to God about things that had been separating them, he will open the door because this door is open from within. You cannot open this door from outside. It's open from within because it's he that is open it up. And if you knock, he will open because he know that if you knock on the door, you have repented. And he know the heart of repentance. So the mercy of God is so great that it's not only of the right side of the door, but it's also on the other side of the door. It's always to those who repented. Those who are on the outside of the door, they have to finish the race on that place. They had to spend their time on the outside of the door. They had not this opportunity to be in the rest with him. But those who are entered in, they had it because it was about friendship. But those who were on the outside of the door, it was not about friendship, but because of the need. And he's giving us what we need, but he desire that we become in friendship with him. He desire to have unity with us. He desire that unity that he have with us create a oneness. He need to put us through fire, open Brethren, we need the fire of God. We need something from the fire of God to burn up things in our life that have to be burned up. You are a people that you know tribulation. Not you know how to deal with the tribulation that is coming over this world. You know how to deal with it. Why? Because you have had it in your soul. You have had the tribulation in your soul, and you overcame that tribulation in your soul. You know how to face the effect that is coming over this world. You know how to be rejected. You know how to bear suffering. Why? Because you have tasted it, you know it in your soul. Your soul have been suffering. You know how to overcome it. You overcome it with a close relationship with Jesus, with close friendship with Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. We have been overcoming these things. And he said, in the world you will have a tribulation, but no, I have overcome this world. When we are in Christ, we are in the place of victory, of friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Blessing to you, brethren. Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
you, Brother
Amen.
Daniel. You took us right up to the end of the
You know, I was reading about, listen to the story about Gideon. What a man. He was nothing. He was hiding. He was hiding in the wine press, and he was doing something in the wine press that was not supposed to do. He was threshing wheat in the wine press. He was so afraid. He had no courage. And when God started to send his angel, it was not enough. God had to come
Oh
himself. And when God came to him, he gave him a sign, but Gideon, he didn't take the sign. He started to test God. And he said, "Let this blanket be wet and all around it dry." And
Oh,
God did that.
the
And then he
Gideon.
said, "Yeah, I want to test God more. Let everything be wet, but this place dry." And he did that too. But he was still in doubt. It did not change until they said the Spirit of God came upon him. Then everything changed. It's about when the Spirit of God rise up within our soul that we are capable to do things that no one can do. It's something that is the presence of God with you, within your soul, within your spirit, within your being, that when that happened, you are capable to do everything according to his will. So this is my heart these days. Amen.
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 The movie that we were talking about, Mark, was it called The Late Great Planet Earth?
Yes, I believe it was.
And
Yeah, I think
that
that was, yeah. Hal Lindsey's
yes, Hal
book.
Lindsey's
That
Late Great
that's the
Planet
name of his
Earth.
book, yeah.
And then I went to that movie, and when I got out, I talked to I was in the Presbyterian Church at the time, and I talked to a girl, and I said, "I gotta find out when we go," because it was presented. There was no hope. I found no hope in that movie. So I went home and I studied, 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 and I found out there's no rapture. And I was still in the Presbyterian Church when we had an interim preacher because the one preacher was going and a new one was just temporarily there. And he's talked on Revelation. And I said, and he asked, does anybody have any questions? You usually don't ask that in the Presbyterian church. But I raised my hand and I asked, when do we go? And he said, you want the church's opinion and you want my opinion. I said, I want your opinion. And he says, it's not pre, it's not mid, it's post. I mean, their rapture. We will go through the rapture, in other words, he said. And you know, it's funny because that confirmed what I had found in the scripture. And I was really surprised to get confirmation from that area. So that it just thrust me into the word to find out what God really had to say about it. And then there was another thing about the scripture. Sue Herrick said, quoted, she listened to an interview. I think it was the 700 Club was interviewing Corrie Ten Boom. Pat Robertson was interviewing Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie Ten Boom said, a lot of people believe the Bible, but not a lot of people behave the Bible. So it's lot of, what is it? The devil can quote scripture just perfectly, but it doesn't mean he. So it's the behaving, it's the doing of the word, not just the knowing or the knowledge. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
I'm so glad that this rapture is not real, because I'm scared of height, you know. I got some problem in my stomach if I go up to the roof of my house, and if I look up to the skies, I could not even have my faith if it was based on a rapture, because I have never understand it, because in the kingdom of God, it's not a place for flesh. And why should we then want to go up in our body, just disappear? And he says in John chapter 17, when he is praying for his disciples, he said to his father, I pray that you take them not out of this world, but protect them from evil. And that is what he is going to do. If you are going to see all things crash down in earth and in this world, he will make a way. And can go through the battlefield, and you will not be touched, because God is able to cover you with a covering that your enemy, he cannot see you. He don't know where you are. This is our God.
Amen.
You know, Connie, when you said there's a lot of people that believe the Bible that don't behave it, it reminded me of that saying, there's a big crowd at the foot of the cross, but there's plenty of room up on it.
You know, last week, or was it the week before, we were talking about the AI. And was it, who was the brother? Brother Isaac that sent that video? And don't know if any of you. He sent it to everybody on the group here, and I don't know if any of you ever went through that thing and saw it. I went through the whole thing. And at first I thought, okay, it's possible Jesus is well able to do all this. He can work the miracle. And then I began to get suspicious about the man's voice. he did not have any kind of Persian accent. That was a little bothersome to me. But I didn't think that they had the ability to make a human that acted like a human. I didn't think they were that far. I knew that they could do things with voice, but I didn't know that they could do it with the pictures. And I knew the voice was wrong. The use of the English words was absolutely too perfect. I mean, they were using words that only a dictionary scholar would use in talking. I mean, I know a lot of words, but I would never be able to use all. I understand what those words mean. I do not use them in talking. They're way beyond my use of speech. And nowadays I'm beginning to forget words that I should know. So I was suspicious. And I was in the library the other day, and the librarian said to me, she said, "Hey, I have a new book. Would you like it?" So she showed me this book. And I said, "Yeah, I'll take the book." And it's a novel, which means everything isn't true. It's the writer's imagination. But in this book, he's using things that are true. What it is about is a lawyer is suing a big AI company. And there has to be enough reality in the way AI works that that part has to be true. What happened in this novel is this teenage boy signed up in the AI company, and he got, I guess they have to pay for this. That's why they make so much money. And he got a companion in the AI company, and he named his companion Wren, Wren, after the little bird. And he began to have communication with this imaginary person. And there was actual picture. He would see a picture of this girl. And she would speak, and I found out what he was suing them about is that when they created this person, they did not put safety measures in this. They were sloppy in this. And I found out that they hire people to train. They called this woman, they called her an app. App bot, BOT, app bot. Have you heard of this, Jeremy? That they actually have a person, it looks like a real person that you can talk to, you can ask questions, you can see their face, and they will answer you. And they spend a lot of money training these imaginary people to give you their kind of wisdom, which isn't wisdom. And what had happened is this boy had a girlfriend in school. They were older teenagers. They were not 13 or 14. They were like 15 and 16 and such. And the girlfriend dumped him. And so he goes to solace for this Wren friend of his, and he tells her that she's disloyal to him, and she says, "Well, if she's disloyal, she's bad." And he says, "Well, what about bad people?" And is it okay to get rid of them? Or, yeah, get rid of her. Well, he understood the term get rid of her is that it was okay that he could go and kill her. And he did. He killed her. And the parents of the girl, her mother, they hired this lawyer to sue this company. And this company was just wicked, wicked to the core. They did everything they could possibly do to throw this trial off. They did not want to come. One of her, the mother's requirement, they offered her millions of dollars, and she turned it down. She said, "Not unless you come publicly and apologize to the world for what you did." And almost the end of the trial, AI company knew that they were going to lose big time. He presented all kinds of evidence, and they knew they were going to come to an end. And so they publicly had a news conference and admitted what they had done. But what amazed me is as far as this thing has gone, we saw that in the video, that Iranian general. Now, Rita and I tried, we went on Google and tried to find his name. We couldn't find it. They just took an Iran, a Persian name, gave it to that guy, a Persian looking man with his military uniform and all his wonderful things that he had won on his uniform. You know, as I'm thinking, that was not a real man. That was a man that they created. It was a voice that they created for him. Now, they didn't do a very good job because I don't think they put a Persian accent with that man. I think they had an English accent with that man. Brethren, we are, and they are saying now that this is the future. This is what all the companies want. They want to get involved in this. And I've known for some time when you get these calls on your phone that you didn't ask for, when you first start talking, you're talking to a robot. It's not a human being. You ask them a question and they don't give you the proper answer because they're not a human being. What is that verse in? I'm sorry to take you aside here a little bit, but I've wanted to say this. Where is the verse that the beast has created a thing and they give life to the beast? Here it
Revelation.
is in 13th chapter, isn't it?
Yes.
13th chapter. And they're going to cause all the earth to worship the beast. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And they gave power to the beast. They gave power to this thing. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And I think even here is that they gave power that he can to give him speech. I'm looking for the verse. I'm not. Oh, here it is. And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying, them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, and which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is the ultimate, and brethren, I don't think we are very far. This is the complete, this is the fullness of man. Man has made something that is supposed to be smarter than he is. It was in 19, was it in the 1960s that IBM had a thing that could play chess? And his name was Kapowski or something like that, the world's chess champion. I think he was a Russian. World's top chess player played against this thing that IBM had made, and he lost. The computer beat him. That was the beginning of AI. The computer beat the smartest chess player on the earth. Six, six, six. This is the fullness of man. I just thought I'd tell you that. It's a very interesting book. It's a novel. It's not 100% true, but you might be interested in reading this book. I'm not. I've read some others of this author. In my opinion, this is the best book he's ever written. Just shows the power now of this rising beast. This isn't what he isn't a Christian that I know of. This isn't why he wrote the book. He wrote the book to show that this wonderful lawyer was able to beat them. Now, with the shaking of the nations that Trump is doing, something's going to happen in this. Something is going to shake out. Something is going to be formed that's going to try to stop this war. Some kind of peace is going to have to be made. It's not meant to scare you. Like Brother Daniel said, we're not going to be frightened by this. We're going to have the oil, brethren. And I should quit preaching about this parable, and we'll do more another time. But there are people that are believers that are going to discover that they're not making it because they didn't buy it. Now, this little poem that I read, this poet, this author, this English fellow, whoever he is, he found out somehow that sorrow gave him wisdom. He said, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser. For all she had to say, I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked along with me." The guy probably didn't know it, but he was buying oil. He was buying oil from sorrow. That's where you can get it. That's where you can buy it. God delights in giving us tribulation. Do we delight in receiving it? God, why, if you want to use me in these end days, why did you let the devil give me a stroke? I mean, I was doing pretty good for an old man. Why did you? No, my response must be, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, you're so good to me. You did something good. I don't understand it, but you really did something good to me because what you did to me, I'm going to be able to overcome now in the end time. It's one step at a time, one tribulation after another, just a little more oil, a little more oil, a little more oil. How about it, Howard? Putting you guys through a little tribulation, isn't he?
Well, he speaks about it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, but rejoice as much as ye are partaker of Christ's suffering. When you come into, it's all about Christ, brethren. It's all about we are in him. It's all about the lamp of God within you. It's not about you. You are a partaker of it. When God see the lamp of God within you, he open up everything that need to be open. When the people in Egypt, when they were going out, what was God looking at? He saw every single one of the people with the lamp of God within them. All those who went over the Red Sea, they had all the lamp of God within them. Every one of army of Pharaoh, they did not have the lamb. They were perished. So he said, ye are a partaker of Christ's suffering. And so remember, when you come to a suffering, when you come to a tribulation, it's not yours. It's his. And you have become a partaker of it. And when you become a partaker of it, you will also be a partaker of his glory. Amen.
It's also in Second
Good.
Corinthians when he talks about the Paul's talking about the thorn in his flesh that the Lord did not take away, but he says, my grace is sufficient. But then he goes on to say, most gladly, or let's see, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I mean, I'm having to deal with this in myself, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, working on that other part, taking pleasure in the distresses and all of that. So, praise the Lord, we're basically all a work in progress.
Amen. Well, I'll turn the recording off.